thought that they would never do. Or maybe things happen to folks along the way of which they thought, well, that will never happen to me. But then it does. God's people are not immune from bad things happening to them. We probably all recognize that and we're familiar with that. It was just mentioned a while ago about a gospel preacher that was struck by a car in a coma. And we need to keep him in our prayers that he'll recover from that. Unfortunate things happen to good people. That's part of life. And just because we obey the gospel of Christ doesn't mean that we're going to be immune from persecution or bad things or trials or temptations, and the list just goes on and on and on. In Matthew chapter 26, after instituting the Lord's Supper, Jesus began to talk with the disciples about the fact that he was going to die. In verse 31, he says, "Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples." I've often thought about what would I have said if I'd been in Peter's shoes on this occasion. Well, I like to think that I would have responded in a similar way, to say, though all men die, I'll never offend thee. Perhaps we all think that that's what we would say, but to be quite honest with you, I don't know what I would have said because I've not been in that position. Neither have you. Maybe we all like to think if it came between life and death that I'll choose dying for the Lord. Well, we like to think that, and I hope that we would do that, but to be quite honest with you, we probably don't know how we would respond in such a situation. I say that to say this, we need to be careful about what we say. There's a difference in saying I know what I will do and saying I think I know what I would do. There's not a doubt in my mind that a lot of folks who obeyed the gospel of Christ thought that they would never turn their back on the Lord. I perhaps thought that too, and I've not always walked faithful before the Lord. I've had my faults and shortcomings too. And that's taught me lessons about how I need to think and how I need to respond before I respond. And so we need to mark our words and hope that we'll do the right thing each and every time. But folks do turn away from following the Lord. None of us are immune from that. I hope that tonight, as you said and you listen to me, that you can say with certainty that you are faithful to the Lord, that you are steadfast, that you're going to do all that you can every day of your life to be faithful to Him. And I hope that's the case, because I want to go to heaven and I want you to go to heaven. But I'm sure a lot of folks once said that too, and then along life's way, they have fallen and turned their back on the Lord. And we need to encourage individuals when that happened, not to stay where they're at, but to come out of that and to do what's right. So this evening, as our scripture reading was taken from John chapter 6, and in verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." That strikes me as interesting, that the Bible says that many of his disciples, not folks who didn't believe, not folks who denied, but a disciple is one who is a learner, a follower. And the Bible says that those who are learners and followers of Jesus from that time turned back and walked no more with him. And so tonight I want us to think briefly about why do many turn back. Folks, I don't want to backslide. Now, that's not to say that I have it in the past, and that's not to say that I won't in the future, because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I hope that I don't. My purpose and aim is not to, but I don't know what tomorrow holds. And I don't know if there's going to be things that come along life's way that, though I'm able to get through them, that I'm faced with them, and I don't think that I can get through them. I'm sure the fact that nothing is going to come upon us that we can't get through, because God is greater than the devil and He's going to be with us. He'll never leave us and forsake us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. No temptation is going to come upon us that's greater that we're not able to bear, and God is going to be with us and provide a way for us to escape it that we are able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. But I know that there can be situations that come upon us that we just don't see the way out. Though God will provide, I know that, and I'm not doubting that. But we're human, and God knows that. But why do many turn back? Why do individuals obey the gospel of Christ and walk no more with Him? Now I can analyze my life, and I can look back at the times when I wasn't faithful, and the times that I wasn't doing what God would have me to be doing, and I can answer for myself and say, why wasn't it that way? Weakness, I'm sure. Immaturity, I'm positive. Not having enough love for the Lord, I'm sure. Loving the world more than I love the Lord, I'm positive that's some of the reasons why. But why do many turn back? And the Bible answers that and gives us some reasons as we can look into the Bible and see men and women just like me and you who are faithful to the Lord but turned back from following Him. Turned their back on Him. Or just rejected it from the get-go. Folks who didn't do that. And in every age of time, there were folks who are unfaithful to God. Whether you go back to the patriarchal time in Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, they transgressed the commandments of God. Turned their back on the Lord. Genesis chapter 6, the imagination of the hearts of men were only evil continually. And as a result of that, God destroyed all of mankind, all of whose breath was in His nostrils except for Noah and his family. Genesis 11, verses 1 through 9, the Tower of Babel. And the list goes on and on of examples that could be given of individuals who turned their back on the Lord under the Mosaic dispensation of time. You had the time of the judges. Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 23, that talks about the cycle that God's people would go through. They turned their back on the Lord. They did wrong. They sinned. They forgot about the Lord. They didn't know the Lord. We have an upcoming lesson on why Israel failed. We're going to talk about that because that serves as an example to us, specifically as we look at them. And then under the Christian age, individuals sinned and turned their back on the Lord. Many are the examples of that. Paul warned about that as he was talking to the elders of the church at Ephesus. He called him to Miletus where he was at, and he had a conversation with him, and he said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and even of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul knew that that was going to happen. Think it can happen among us? Do I think that I'm so big that I can't fall? Even the big and mighty fall. The bigger we are, the farther we fall. You might have heard it said, but I point that out to you to remind us that folks have fallen away from a right relationship with God from the beginning. Those who turn back are described not on good terms. That doesn't mean God doesn't love individuals, but their condition before God is described pretty harshly in the Bible. I think about a barren tree or barren branches. John 15, verse 2. If any man not abide in me and don't produce and so forth, he's going to be severed, burned. You know, lukewarm. Revelation 3, verse 16. Those of Laodicea. Dead while living. Talk about a widow. Though she's living in pleasure, she is dead while living. Perishing. Acts 8, verse 20. Thy money perish with thee. Peter said to Simon, forsaking the right way, 2 Peter 2:15. The latter end is worse with them than at the beginning or the first, 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. It's happened to them according to the true proverb. The dog has returned to its own vomit again. The sow that was cleaned are wallowing in the mire. Not in favorable terms. So when I transgress the commandments of God, when I backslide and turn my back on the Lord, think about how we're described by inspiration. Think about how we are viewed in the eyes of God. Not that He doesn't love us anymore. He does. Not that He doesn't care about us. We know that He does. Here's some reasons why individuals turn and walk no more with the Lord, because many stumble at the Lord's Word. Many don't obey because they stumble at the Word of the Lord. They don't like what it says. They won't swallow it. They won't have it that way. Yeah, I was just talking with someone, maybe today, I'm not sure. I lose track sometimes of who and when I talk to people. But we were having a conversation about the fact that folks will read it for themselves. They'll see it in the Bible. And then all of a sudden, I mean, it was Ray we were talking about this. I don't see it that way. I don't want it that way. They don't want to hear anymore. Well, folks, just because I throw up a wall and say I don't want to hear anymore about it doesn't mean that it's not true. And it's still going to read like that come the judgment day. Well, some don't believe. John 8, verses 45 and 46. Some just absolutely do not believe what the Bible says. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? I think about that today. There's times we tell folks the truth, and because we tell them the truth, they don't believe us. They stumble at the Word of the Lord. Others won't obey. Why call you me Lord, Lord? Luke 6:46. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Again, in the book of John, chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him. But because the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Some folks hear it, they believe it, but for whatever reason, they will not obey it. And that's sad. How many times have we heard the truth and we didn't obey it because it didn't sit well with us? Or maybe because, well, I've never seen it that way, and therefore that can't be right. Gotta be careful. Maybe we were wrong. Maybe we didn't read it right, or whatever the case may be. But others just simply will not believe, and others will not obey. So why do many turn and walk not with the Lord? Because they stumble at the Lord's Word. But also some don't count the cost. Some don't think about what's involved in being a disciple of the Lord. Some don't think about what's involved in being a Christian. I doubt that any of us sat down and thought about all the what-ifs that could arise before we obeyed the gospel of Christ. Probably none of us did that. We probably obeyed and without knowing what all was going to be involved in it, but we need to count the cost. We need to think about what is involved in being a Christian and growing. And there may be things when you obey the gospel of Christ you didn't realize was involved in it, but you learned, you grew. You came to a knowledge about what it means to be a disciple of the Lord, what are some of the sacrifices that are involved in it, and you made those sacrifices. We just wrapped up not too many weeks ago a first principles class, and we talked about some duties, some responsibilities, some sacrifices that are made in becoming Christian and being a child of God. We've got to count the cost. In Luke 14:26, Jesus must come before all. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, that's easy to read a passage like that and just keep on going in it. But I want you to think about how much you love your wife and how much you love your husband and how much you love your children. And how much you love your parents. The devotion that we have to Jesus has to come above those relationships. Is that always easy? No. Not always easy. But is it necessary? Read the last part again. Except you do these things, he says, he cannot be my disciple. He's got to be first in our life. When we realize that, I'm convinced we'll see the difference. We'll see the difference in our daily walk. We'll see the difference in our work. We'll be more productive in the workplace. We'll be more productive in the home. We'll be more productive in the church. There'll be less of an attendance gap on come Sunday night as to what there is on Sunday morning when we see that Jesus must come first. God must come first. We'll see the difference. We must bear a cross, Luke 14:27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What's involved in bearing a cross? As you take up your cross and follow the Lord daily, what's involved in that? Well, obviously, he's not talking about going to Jerusalem and bearing a cross to Golgotha and being crucified, though the end of our life might be involved in that. But what does it mean? What's involved in bearing our cross daily? That means making sacrifice. Whatever comes our way, that we'll bear it, that we'll take it. Because we're following the Lord. But some won't count the cost. Many long for their prior life. Luke 9:62, Jesus said, whatsoever man putteth his hand to the plow and looking back, he's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Some folks obey the gospel of Christ and then they say, you know what, I miss the way that it used to be. I miss being able to do the things that I used to do. Looking back and longing for the things behind me instead of pressing forward to the things that lie ahead. And as a result of that, folks turn their back on the Lord and they don't walk with Him anymore. I'll be quite honest with you, I don't like who I used to be before I became a Christian, walked faithful with the Lord. And maybe you can say the same. I hope that you can. Number three, the faith of some is shallow. We become a Christian and we're as a babe in the Lord. We grow. The parable of the sower, Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, he talks about the seed that was sown. It was the same seed, but it fell upon different types of soil. Some fell upon the wayside. Some of the seed fell upon the stony ground where it didn't have any depthness and it couldn't be rooted. Some fell among the thorns where the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choked out the word that it was not profitable. And some of the seed fell among good soil, good ground. How was your heart? Even tonight as you're listening to me, how's your heart in receiving the word of God? What kind of heart do you have? I've sowed the seed. Of course, you don't know this until sometimes afterward. You still teach the Bible anyway, but sometimes you find out that it didn't fall among a good and honest heart. Sometimes it does. Guess which one is more productive? The good and honest heart. We're seed sowers, not mind and heart readers, by the way. You just sow it anyway. Teach it. Faith is essential, Hebrews 11, verses 1, and then verse 6, as we talked about in the Bible class this morning. You've got to have faith. Your faith needs to get stronger and stronger as a result of the Word and studying the Word. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's got to be developed. You've got to grow, 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, that is, by the Word. 1 Peter 2:2. And now, brethren, I commend you unto God and the Word, His grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified, Acts 20 and verse 32. The Word of God will produce growth and faith. It will be stronger. But why do many turn back? Because their faith is shallow. Some folks obey and they don't give themselves enough time. They don't give themselves enough time to grow. And in a general statement, we failed a lot of people so many times because they're converted, they obey, and then we turn them loose. We fail to do good teaching with them that'll get them. They've got personal responsibility too. Don't miss the point on that. But it's our responsibility too to do what we can to encourage them and to teach them and to give them a good foundation to grow on. That's why first principle classes, by the way, are important for us to do. Some fall away because and turn back because they're overcome by the world. Matthew 13:7-22 about the thorns. It's the cares of the world. The deceitfulness of riches choke the word that it becomes unfruitful, unprofitable. 1 Timothy 6:17. Riches. Chasing the dollar. Is it important? Sure. Everyone needs money. We have obligations that we have to meet. But there are more valuable, important things than money. And that's not where our emphasis needs to lie. Charge them that are rich in this world. Remember that? They trust not in uncertain riches and so forth. He backs up, even beginning with verse 10. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out, but having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Be careful about that. That starts with me too. I suppose I could say I want more and more and more and more and then try to gain more and more and more and more. But at what expense? At what expense? You could do the same thing. You could say, you know what, tell your employer, just give me more hours. More and more and more and more and more. I'll take all you can give me, but at what expense? I'm not saying that would cost anything of a negative weight in each and every case. But I'm saying be careful about that. Be careful about where your desires are and pleasures. James chapter 5. And in verse 5. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and have been wanting. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Why do many turn back? Because they're overcome by the world. We know that passage in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, that we talk about from time to time when he talks about not loving the world, love not the world, not the things that are in the world. Verse 17, the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Why do folks turn back and overcome by the world? Because of the love of worldly things, as we just read. But also many are led astray by men. I think it was in the Bible class recently, I told you got to be careful about that, because if you're following a man, if he's wrong, guess what? You're wrong too. If the blind lead the blind, they shall both fall into the ditch. But folks are led astray by men. Jesus warned about that, Matthew 24:4-5, and other passages in the book of Matthew. Be not deceived. I'm not being deceived of men. The apostles gave one in 2 Corinthians 11. Verses 13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transform themselves into the apostles of Christ, and marvel not, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is of no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. 2 Peter 2:1-3, even as there were false prophets among them, there should be false teachers among you, who proudly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Some are led astray by men, Because they don't test the spirits, and that's something we've got to do. 2 John, or 1 John rather, chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, test, prove the spirits, whether they be of God, from any false prophets are gone out into the world. I like the attitude of the Bereans when the Bible talks about in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received with meekness the word and search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Some turn back and walk no more with the Lord because they are discouraged. You ever been discouraged? All of us have been. We're going to keep probably being discouraged along life's way. That's easily done. But that doesn't mean that we turn our back on the Lord. That doesn't mean that we throw our hands up and say, I quit. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Some versions say, if we faint not. The King James Version says, Galatians 6, verse 9. It's not in vain. All of our labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. God is concerned, so don't have the mentality that God is unconcerned. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 and Psalm 34, verse 15, He'll always be with us. So why do many turn back and walk no more with the Lord? Because they become discouraged. Don't be discouraged about things in your private life and in your work life to the extent that you're ready to give up on God. I don't know how much thought you've given to that, but I want to ask you, what sense does that make anyway? I've talked with individuals who things come upon them and they turn their back on the Lord, they backslide, they quit coming. And one of the questions I've asked them along the way is, I understand what you're saying to me, but why on earth would you turn your back? What does that have to do with you serving God? You mean to tell me that something happened to you and as a result of that, you're going to basically look at God and say, I quit. I'm not going to be faithful to you. I don't think people think things through about that when it comes to backsliding the Lord. Sure, it was a difficult time. Sure, it was hard. But that doesn't mean that you turn your back on the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You do that by hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you have done that, but you've not been faithful as you should, and you're just as though we've talked tonight. Perhaps along life's way you've said, I will never be unfaithful to the Lord. But along the way you turned your back on the Lord, and you're not faithful as you should, and you realize that. Now you want to be faithful again. You want to start anew. God will forgive if you'll repent, make confession unto Him in prayer. Because of this one, we have His assurance that He'll do that. Acts 8 and 1 John 1. But you've got to come back home on the Lord's terms. Not on our own, but submit to His terms, His will. And do what He would have us to do. Be faithful to Him. He'll forgive you of all of your unfaithfulness. You can start anew. And be faithful to Him. Steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. I hope that you'll make that decision. There's danger and delay. There's no reason in the world for you to shirk the responsibility that God, the opportunity that God has extended to you. Don't delay. Come right now.